Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, Menage a Quad.
The deep cake is a lie.
9-inch nails on a chalkboard.
Deaths from monkeypox are rarely fatal.
All in on the Nurple booby.
Duh, twinning.
Body horror fantasies, delicately explored.
Crowbar with two functional ends.
Partial eclipse of the red on airline.
Goth teats.
I'll sleep on you, He-Man.
Left head, right head, lower head.
Percy Jackson and the Zeus hole.
Namor's snitch feet with Steven and more of this episode of The Morning Stream.
The Ohio Department of Health is reporting the state's first death from monkeypox, but state health officials say there's no need to panic because deaths from the disease are rarely fatal.
Dumb bear son of a bitch.
Only my homeboys call me Rome, pig. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to TMS. It's Monday, October 3rd, 2022. I'm Scott, and he's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. Hello.
I got a question I have to ask you because it popped into my head this morning, and I haven't been able to shake it.
Okay.
And
ask your question.
This is going to be a little bit weird, everybody. So
ask the fucking question.
Don't feel bad or don't feel too nervous about it, but it is a little bit of a weird question. Here you go. If you were a conjoined twin, all right,
yeah.
Which way would you prefer it? Would you prefer the two heads on the same body or one head or, you know, heads stuck together, two full bodies?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so basically you're asking would I prefer one head, two bodies, or one body, two heads?
Yeah, basically.
For sure, two heads.
Okay. So yeah. that way, it's not like one of you needs to, I don't know, take a dump and the other one has to just sit there having a bad time. If you got to go, you both got to go at the same time.
Exactly.
All right. That's my answer.
That's funny that you, that is the first, the problem that you go to immediately with having one head and two bodies is, oh my God, what if one of us has to poop?
Well,
and the other one doesn't.
But there's still there are bigger questions. Like, let's say if you have two distinct personalities in each head, but one body, that means that those two people are probably going to have different likes, tastes, whatever. They're going to want to marry different people, for example, relationships with different human beings.
Yeah.
So now if they do that, that's a problem. Because let's just, I don't want to get too indelicate here, but let's just say, you know, you're in a, we'll keep it PG. You're in the car at the drive-in movie and the head that is out with the girl.
Why can't I be out with two girls then? I could be in the middle of the back seat and there could be a woman on each side of me and I could be making out with two women at once.
No, you could. That's right. You could.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's turn your fantasy into my fantasy really quick,
okay,
Scott.
So that's not bad, but there's also complications. Let's say you get married. Let's say you marry both girls.
Sure. Okay.
And you even do the wedding on the same day. It's all great. Head off to the honeymoon. How are we handling that? Those logistics. What's going on there? You know.
Head off to the honeymoon.
Is it just a bunch of you know?
Jeez, are you just like saying, all right? Well, we were nice and delicate before. Now we have to.
I'm just saying, like you got two of them now, and you got two people, and it's just I don't know. It sounds complicated to me.
Let's.
And I don't mean the physical act. I mean like The relationships of it, because like
a crowbar has two ends, two functional ends to it.
No, wait, that doesn't work. Because you got,
have you?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Brian did go indelicate. I'm saying like relationship wise.
I think I was as euphemistic as possible.
I'm just saying like if you love the one girl and the other head loves the other girl, and
I don't know if that's how it works. I mean, I know that what Chang and Aang married two women, didn't they? Like they
did they?
I think so.
But is everybody all in on the gig? Like they
have to be. I mean, this is one of those things you can't like say, you can't hide and say reveal on the third date, right? It's like something the woman immediately
obviously,
knows
what
they're getting into.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously that's true, but I'm just trying to figure out like from a logistics standpoint, who like if you're fighting with one wife.
Oh yeah, Chang and Aang married sisters.
Oh my gosh, it's worse then. Or it's at least weirder. Not saying worse. Whatever. Everybody do your own thing.
It's just probably not happening simultaneously, like any messing around, right?
Yeah, but it is whether it isn't or isn't, right? Like, as if let's say it's purely like, hey, we're gonna go have a little fun together, me and my wife, says the right head.
Yeah.
And so the right head, which includes the left head, they go off and have their fun with wife number one. Does left head just kind of read a comic book off to the side, you know, stare at the television, not really interested in this, even though it's that dude shares the wiener and everything else? Or is it like, what is that? It's just such a different thing. I don't know why I want to know. I just want to know. Like, why?
I think, I mean, I guess I don't know. You do whatever the situation calls for and is comfortable to all parties involved, really. You can't just say, okay, well, whenever left head wants to make out with his wife, right head has to make out with his wife. You know, it's just
they would. And that's what I'm saying is, since you can't, since you wouldn't simultaneous all the time.
I just think you can't put rules on that until you're actually in that situation to be able to say, here's what works for us.
Like, would one of the heads be annoyed if they didn't like the wife of the other head?
Yeah, I think you definitely would. That almost feels like it would be, you know, if there are no rules, this would be the one rule that would break the rule. But you basically would have to get approval.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both heads would have to give approval for each of the marriages.
Yeah, like, you would have to you're literally stuck
with that person.
Yeah, you are stuck with somebody you may or may not actually like. I guess if they're sisters. Yeah. Were they twin sisters in the case of the thing you were talking about?
I don't know. They didn't show photos of the Yates sisters that Chang and Aang married, but I assume they were sisters. They both had the last name Yates.
Okay. So. All right. Well, may they all live forever together. It's been a hell of a week, you guys. I had of course, the horrible death in the family. Kim had to go to the funeral. She just got back yesterday. In the middle of the afternoon, we had a wedding like 4 days before that, and then a funeral, and now we got a birth in the next 24 hours or so.
Oh, so it's okay. I saw this in there. I saw it in the show notes, a wedding, a funeral, and a birth. And I'm like, she had the baby and you refrained from any social media about it, but she didn't have it yet.
No, she's having labor pains, but they're not regular enough to go in. So we've been on standby kind of mode, just like, okay, let's see how this goes. She's very, very pregnant. Like if you saw her at a profile, you'd be like, oh my gosh, freaking, I don't know what I'm looking at there. She's got she carries way out in front as well. So it's like a very distended sort of pregnancy. All signs are good. Lots of green lights. Everything's good. But now it's just a matter of anywhere between the last couple of days and the next couple of days is the range. And if she doesn't have it by today, they're inducing her tomorrow.
Okay. So
go in and
for sure by tomorrow night, there will be, Scott will be a grandpa twice over.
Yep. There'll be a little baby girl, named Phoebe, nothing to do with friends. And then, everything will be great.
I get that, by the way. For a while, we had to do, our son's name is Tristan. Nothing to do with Legends of the Fall.
Yep. I was actually going to ask you about that. Maybe I even have asked you about it, but I think I did a long time ago. I actually said when he was like 12, I'm like, hey, Brian, did you name him after the movie thing? Which you had probably at that stage had been asked a billion times.
I had, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we'd ever talked about it here, but no, he was named after Sir Tristan of the Round Table and the Tristan and Isolde fable from Old English fable, and as well as the Tristan from All Creatures Great and Small, which was my favorite book series as a kid. About a couple of veterinarians in the UK.
Nice.
We just always loved that name.
It's a great name. Nothing to do with Brad Pitt, you guys, so quit asking.
Right.
No
exactly.
One asked.
Jeez.
No one asked.
As soon as we saw that movie, we're like, ah, oh, damn it.
Damn it.
Freaking
damn it. Brad Pitt, you bastard. All right, moving on.
Guess we have to go with our runner-up name, which is Galahad.
Galahad would have been great. Who else is in there? You got your, let's see.
There's Sir Gawain.
Don't call him Gawain. That's terrible. How about Sir?
Who's the Gawain?
Who's the one? I don't like. No one's gonna be named Gawain. Name a Gawain. Do you know a Gawain?
Oh, I was just saying. Yeah, I don't know. No, nobody's named Gawain.
Nobody.
Gawain Wade from A Different World.
There are no Gawains out there. Who else is there?
Galahad, Tristan.
Who's the big one? There's a big one that we're not thinking of here. Sir. It's a big one, and it's a great one.
I don't know.
It's the one I... Lancelot, that's the one.
Oh, Lancelot, of course. Jeez, the one that hooked up with Guinevere. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, Percival. Yeah, Percival's a good one.
But then he'd have to be known as Percy. You don't want that.
No, definitely not. That's like... Boy, talk about, my name is Percival.
Yeah.
And then that just kind of evolved over the years. Hey, Percy.
Hello,
hey,
Percy. Yeah, Percy Jackson and the Soaring Stone of the Zeus Pole or whatever that movie was called. and if he did Lancelot, he'd go by Lance. That's cool.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you go back in time.
Sure. Lance would be Lance. See, Lance also, I know a Lance and he's really cool. Actually, I know a couple Lances. Lance, Anderson, podcaster who was Verge of the Fringe in Orange County. Really cool guy and very cool podcaster.
Is he still doing that show? Still around?
I don't think so. I mean, he's still around, but I don't think he's... I don't even know if he's doing podcasting anymore. He might be. I'm so out of the listening to podcast area.
Yeah, I feel you. Anyway,
see. Yeah, and I know another Lance who's a big Packer fan, but that's a whole other story.
I think if I know any Lances, I know one Lance, guy that sold me my my hot tub back in the day. His name was Lance.
Lance the hot tub salesman.
Yeah, Lance.
I'm sure there's some Lances in our tadpole. There have to be that we've met at Nerdtacular or something.
Oh yeah, if there's not a Lance out there listening, I'll eat my Lance, whatever that means. All right, hey Brian, I got an email I'd like to share from Ben. This made me laugh pretty hard. He says that, oh, shit. You know what? There's a theme for this.
Send and receive email.
This is what he said. He said, you guys did the ultimate Red on Air light the other day. And it's ironic that it was not only a Red on Air light, and it was Bill's segment where the Red on Air light was born. But I'll read this email and you see what I mean. Bill shared another Lara Kampf video last week. And you guys said you'd never seen her videos before. Lara Kampf made the podcasting rig with the Red on Air light. Thanks for helping all of us olds feel like our brains, we have Brian cells to spare. He meant brain. Yeah. He meant brain. We know what he meant. Ben.
No, this show does have Brian cells to spare, especially on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, there's always a few of those extra cells. But here's the deal. You're not wrong. That is the ultimate. How ironic it is that we couldn't remember
that. It's ironic, but I wouldn't consider it a second Red on Air light. Because it's not like the right thing would have been like, oh my God, she made a podcasting rig, Lara Kampf. Like, basically saying that again would be the Red on Air light. We didn't discuss something that we'd discussed before. We just basically forgot that we'd seen her videos before. Well, I guess that is kind of the Red on Air light.
It's a little close to it, but
it kind of is. Yeah. I mean, it's a little different, but. Yeah, the moon isn't fully eclipsing the sun, but it's a partial eclipse.
Yeah, it's a partial eclipse. Sure. Still don't stare at it, though. Don't do that.
Yeah, it's a partial eclipse of the Red on Air light.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's a great song from the 80s. Anyway, thank you, Ben, for your email. Brian, you went to a concert. How'd it go?
I did. It was excellent. So I went and saw My Chemical Romance, which the whole the whole time I was joking, like out to dinner with Tina beforehand and saying, oh my gosh, we're going to go see the Chemical Romancers or Romancing the Chemicals or whatever.
Nice.
Beautiful location, Pepsi or a former Pepsi Center, Ball Arena. It's now called Ball Arena after the Ball aerospace and engineering and stuff. They had two opening acts. Taking Back Sunday was one of them, and it was they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was familiar with maybe one or two songs by Taking Back Sunday. Those guys put on an incredible show, and lead singer just as charismatic as Gerard Way from MCR. The first opening act, which I gotta say I wasn't too jazzed about, was like basically Nine Inch Nails on a chalkboard is what my description. Were heavy industrial electronic band called Youth Code. People enjoyed them. People, you know, there were people in the audience who loved them. It was just not our jam, but hey, whatever, more for everybody else. But
Can I play a little taste of it you sent me in this text?
Yes,
you sent me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, here you go, everybody. This is just a little bit of it. Brian sent this. My favorite part is the silhouettes of people walking in front of your camera. It makes it seem like they're leaving, you know? Like they're getting out of
there. Yeah, it kind of was, yeah.
Yeah.
Those were arriving. If they're going right to left, then they're arriving.
Yeah.
It took us four songs to realize that the lead vocalist was a woman.
Oh, see, I already forgotten. You told me this already, and yeah. I already in my head, I'm like, oh, look at that dude.
Yeah.
Oops.
And one of the things that she did multiple times, I never was able to capture it on video, was to hork up a loogie, spit it straight up in the air, high, and she'd get it up high. I think she'd like jump and spit at the same time, and she'd get up super high, and then she'd come down and she'd catch it in her hand and then keep singing like you know, and touching the microphone with loogie hand, and it's like, oh man,
why are they doing that?
I don't need that.
I don't like that at all.
That's the appropriate. That is the appropriate sound that goes along with that.
That's so gross.
But
dude.
Again, you know, good for them. They got invited to open for My Chemical Romance. A lot of people enjoyed them. Whatever. Not for us.
Just not your bag of cheese there.
Exactly.
I get you.
By the way, I like how everybody complains about the audio clip you just played and not the descriptive loogie catching and throwing that.
Clip from an old Film Sack movie, which was fake anyway, must really truly be the grossest thing about this story. Not Brian actually witnessing.
Yeah.
Not this debauchery that Brian saw on stage. Not at all. Who does that? Who spits anything anywhere? And then is it part of your ass?
Yeah, exactly. But MCR, so My Chemical Romance, Tina and I were I don't even know if you could say we were casual fans before. We knew Black Parade, we knew the song Teenagers and Na 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 Na,
yeah,
which is the name of one of their songs.
Yeah.
We became big fans of the band, and man, their stage was amazing. So they had this cool three-dimensional post-apocalyptic, like destroyed buildings and stuff in the background. And at first we thought, oh, it's a really cool painted backdrop. And then the lights would hit and you realize, oh, wow, no, those are three-dimensional buildings in front of a post-apocalyptic landscape painting. It was just so, so cool.
That's awesome. Love that.
And they dropped it halfway through the first song, which was Foundations of Decay, which is really, really cool. I gotta say, we're fans now. We're like, oh yeah, let's listen to some Chemical Romance, man. It was very, very cool.
So they went from somebody else's Chemical Romance to your Chemical Romance. Or if I were you, I would say My Chemical Romance. Now
are now our Chemical Romance.
Oh, it's our.
It used to be their Chemical Romance because everybody else liked them, but now it's our Chemical Romance. We all share the Chemical Romance.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I like those guys. They're good. They're a good band.
They are good. Yeah, they are good. I really, you know, my knowledge of their appearance shows the age of like how. out of touch I was with Ben. Like, oh, they didn't come out in band leader uniforms? Because that was apparently like, you know, four albums ago.
That was a thing.
Probably a dozen years ago when Black Parade came out. That was their look.
Gotcha.
The the crowd was almost cookie cutter. Like there was, it was almost like they handed out black lipstick at the entrance. You had to wear black lipstick.
Okay.
The colors were black and red by everybody.
Yeah.
Their outfits, a lot of, fishnet, torn fishnet stockings and, pants with a lot of zippers and stuff on them, which, you know, is really great when you're going through a metal detector at the entrance.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you have to explain your pants, basically.
Exactly. Why is there such a delay in getting into the place? Oh, that's why.
Did you partake in any of these dress codes? Did you wear any fishnet?
I wore
any?
Black. I wore dark blue jeans and a black button-up shirt. Mm. I just said, look, I'm already going to look like, you know, somebody's dad chaperoning.
That's the risk we run at our age going to concerts, you guys. We look like someone's dad, and we're chaperoning. You know, nobody wants to look like they're chaperoning. It's not cool. It's not a cool look.
We did see a bunch of other people who were on the older sides who were like, oh, yeah, hey, look, that guy's old, as old as us. Oh, look, that guy over there is as old as us. So,
yeah.
We needed to go through a metal detector, Claire. Well, not our first time seeing emos or goths or whatever, but it was kind of... Again, you know, the MCR, My Chemical Romance, is an older band. I should call them one or the other. We'll say MCR.
They spread. MCR, they span a couple of generations for sure. In terms
they
of
span
like
a couple generations, and yeah. So the audience coming to see them were spread all around like the 20s and 30s, and probably even some 40s. But it felt like major portions of all three of those groups were all dressed emo, as opposed to like, all right, the 20s and 30s in their emo outfits, but then the 40-year-olds in kind of what I was wearing, the black button up.
Sure.
The we did see one gal wearing a t-shirt. Let's see, I'm trying to remember the order of things that were written on her t-shirt. I think it said big the word for a woman's breasts.
Yes, teats. Yes. I assume it was teats.
Goth Anna Nicole Smith. What her t-shirt said.
So that, was that an
goth
order
Anna Nicole Smith.
Was that an order of importance to that person, do you think? Like one through three, top being, you know, teats,
it might,
and then
be, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. That might have been like, you know, an order of importance.
Yeah. Sure. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was a band, actually, because that would be a great name for a band, is Big T Goth.
Could be.
Anna Nicole Smith. But no, I'm just looking. There's not one.
What does Anna Nicole Smith have to do with any of those people?
Like, I have no idea. No idea whatsoever.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had a good time is the important thing. And who is it? Tony? Anthony gave you tickets. That's awesome. Nice.
Yes. So big thanks to Anthony in the chat room, who wasn't able to go, bought the tickets for his daughter. They weren't able to go, and they gave the tickets to us. And we are eternally grateful. So
nice. So in 1,000 years, find Brian, and he'll still be grateful. Because he'll be eternally grateful.
Because of eternity. That's right. How eternity works.
It just keeps going. It never ends.
That's right. All right. Brian is finally ready. We're good.
Oh, good. We can add him now? All right.
We can add him now.
All right. We so deftly delayed that, you know, you couldn't even tell that we were delaying. We were just sort of, you know, riffing, making a show. And then Dunaway joins us, which will be great. I'm really looking forward to this, so I'll just push this button and get it started. Well, what do we have here? It's Brian Dunaway joining us for the Morning Half Asses, a little game we play on Mondays, and it wouldn't be the same without you. Hi, Brian. Welcome back.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
What'd your weekend go
like?
What are
you guys doing for this Monday? My weekend?
Yeah.
Was that a trick question?
Was that good, eh? I mean, I know you did Film Sack with us. That was fun. But other than that,
I did. Yeah. That was the fun part. And then I slept all day Sunday. Well, I felt horrible.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And then I got up just in time to how much is too much information?
I don't know. Go for it. Right. Did you get a little?
We'll let you know when you finally cross that line. We'll say it's too late.
You crossed the line. You crossed the line.
Fantastic.
Let's just say there was an intestinal problem.
Oh,
there.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you feel better, though. I don't like that. No weekend should be.
I don't either.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to do that. That's no fun. Where'd you get it? Some bad. You get some bad.
Stomachal romance.
Your stomachal romance. Exactly. Yeah. Did you get some bad food or what happened?
There's a stomach bug going around.
Oh. I hate those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those can eat a turd. I don't like them. That's right.
They tried to.
Yeah, I'll bet it did. Well,
it's kind of the opposite effect.
Welcome back, though. It's good to have you here. And we're going to go ahead and get a thing going here. Hey, Brian Ibbett, you're going to have to explain the rules because we don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Welcome to the Morning Half-Asses, a trivia game where I'm going to be giving you two chuckleheads the answers. I'm going to be giving you guys a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. If you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Guess one and get it right, you get a point. If you get guess two correctly, you get 3 points. And if you guess all three correctly, you get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize or the rise for their contestant. And I've pulled contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here with us live today. Scott, you're going to be playing for Brian Clemens of Gilbert, South Carolina. I hope he's doing okay. Oh. Do you know where Gilbert is? Is it more inland or closer?
Yeah. Where is Gilbert?
Yeah. It's further. Yes. As I live all the way, I live closest to Georgia. So pretty much everything to me is almost everything's going to be eastern. Yeah. Gilbert's a little more eastern.
Okay.
They probably got like most of us, a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind. Yeah.
Okay. Residuals. All right. Hope you're doing all right, Brian.
Yeah.
And then Brian, you're going to be playing for Milo of Monterrey, Mexico.
Oh, very nice. Monterrey.
So, mm-hmm. Milo of Monterrey. Monterrey Milo is what we call him.
Sure.
Back in the day.
Sure.
All right. If you guys are ready, looks like you guys are both logged into the game. Let's go ahead and give you your questions. And we're starting with one that was actually submitted by a listener. And big thanks to Stephen Forster, a.k.a. Winmagus, in the chat, submitted this one.
Sorry, Ryan's Dunaway's reaction with a gasp is weird.
It's so
shocking. Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. Anyway. Most Magic the Gathering sets take place on different planes of the multiverse. Multiverse. Ravnica is a plane that is a giant city and ruled by 10 different guilds, each relating to a two-color combination from the game. Which of these are actual guilds in Ravnica?
Okay.
Your choices are...
Not going to know this.
Piltover, Celestia, Noxus, Izzet, Rakdos, and Demacia.
When you said "is it," I thought you were asking if it was.
Is it?
Is it this next to?
I'm wondering. Is it not?
Yeah.
And when Magus go and correct me on my pronunciations of any of those. Piltover, Celestia, Noxus, Izzet, Rakdos, and Demacia. Piltover. Or Demacia. It'd be Demacia.
Well, I know one of these.
I guess it's a card game. You can pronounce it any way you want,
well,
right?
You could. Like, yeah, you could.
Yeah.
I know one of these is 100% not in there because it's from a whole different game, but the rest of these have no idea.
Oh, which one is that one?
I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you after you get it wrong. good Lord.
I got into this for a little bit, and I'm trying to see if I feel like I'm going to get one of these wrong.
I'll do two.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are both locked in. You guys both picked Demacia, which is correct, or Demacia, Joe Demacia.
Yeah.
It was really good. Well done. Brian, you were so close. You had Demacia and Celestia, which were both correct, and then for some reason you decided to add...
I couldn't decide, is it? It looks familiar, but I'm like, where is it from?
You would have had
Rakdos,
it.
Also not not one, but Noxus. So Noxus, Celestia.
Piltover's freaking League of Legends stuff.
Really?
Yeah, that's a city. Piltover's a city in there. If you watch Arcane, they talk about it. It's in the card game they make. What's it called? Legends of Runeterra? That game
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I selected the wrong ones when I entered this. So, Celestia, Izzet, and Rakdos are correct.
Nice.
So Scott, Demacia is not though. So it doesn't change anything.
Still
0-0, but yes.
Are all these? I don't get it. What happened? Are all these real? Or I mean, sorry, these are right.
No. So the real answers are Celestia, Izzet, and Rakdos.
Oh, gotcha.
But Demacia is not. So you both chose Demacia, which is wrong. So, it doesn't matter because you both would have chosen one incorrectly.
Katamari,
so. There is one that's like Demacia that is one. What is it, though?
I can't recall.
Anyway.
You got me, man.
Thank you. Thank you for the correction. See, that's what happens when I don't use my cards. Thank you. All right. Maybe when Magus can tell you the one you're trying to think of. That sounds like that.
Yeah.
We'll give him time to do that. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to question number two, shall we?
Yeah, we should.
You'll like this one a lot better. Pin-related bowling jargon. So when you're bowling, there's phrases that have to do with the pins that are left behind. Tell me which of these are real and which of these are fake. Really, just tell me the real ones. Is it bedposts, Charlie horse, spare ribs, wishbone, dime store, or Greek church?
Oh, my Lord.
In-related, these all sound like right things, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with what bowlers think is funny. So let's see.
Okay, bowlers think certain things are funny. I like that idea. I like that a lot. I've chosen my two.
Yep.
I've chosen two as well.
Right. Okay, you locked in. All right. You both selected wishbone. And wishbone is not an answer.
Damn it.
Right, though.
Bedposts, dime store. Dime store, I know, is leaving the 5 and the 10. Bedposts, I think, is is 5, 6, and 9 and 10 or something like that. I don't know what Greek church is. Let's see. That would be the 4, 6, 7, 9, 10 split. It's the hardest shot in bowling, the Greek church.
Why is it called Greek church? What does that even mean?
I think because it has so many points up.
I don't understand you at all, bowlers.
Yeah, bowlers are confusing, man. Weird.
Yeah, they are.
All right. Well, we have that
7
one up.
10. 7 and 10 are the bedposts, by the way. 5 and 10 is the 5 and dime, is obviously your dime store. So that's what that is. By the way, those other three, Charlie Horse, Spare Ribs, and Wishbone, those are from Operation. Come on.
Don't touch the funny bone.
I mean, a wishbone is anything, man. Come on.
May I play? something you split. All right, let's get to the last one. Hopefully one of you can get some points on this one. Birds of the Galapagos Islands.
It's easy.
Plural. All right, good. Okay.
No, it isn't.
Birds of the Galapagos Islands. We have the brown pelican, the crested monk hawk, the nurple booby, muddy egret, swallowtail gull.
The nurple booby?
The nurple booby. And the lava heron.
Okay. I don't freaking know.
Right?
Three of those are real birds.
I'm going all in.
All right. Well, you kind of have to.
Let's go all in on that. I'm sure it's wrong. I don't know. I have no idea. I've even seen documentaries about the Galapagos Islands, and I don't retain this stuff.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't. I'm with Scott. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's just that's just wrong.
Feels wrong.
Oh, holy cow. All right. This is awesome.
Did we guess all the wrong ones?
You both chose all three incorrect answers.
The wrong ones. Oh my God. I knew it.
The muddy egret, the crested monk hawk, and the nurple booby. Come on. Purple.
I chose nurple booby because it seems so not going to be true that it had to be. Yeah. That's why I did that.
But brown pelican, swallow-tailed gull, and lava heron.
Almost just wore the brown
lava heron. Wow. Okay. So muddy egret was not.
But isn't that place like known for like having like an insane amount of birds?
I mean, it's lots of wildlife. Sure. Yeah. The Galapagos is like a big.
Too bad that wasn't on the questions.
Yeah. Crazy ecosystem of wildlife and birds and stuff.
All right. So you know what? We're going to do a little tiebreaker question.
Let's do it.
I just happen to have one here. Speaking of pelicans, how many cups of water? So I'm going to, let's see.
Yeah. How will this work?
We'll
go high low kind of thing.
I'll ask Scott this one and you're going to go high low.
Okay.
How many cups of water can an adult pelican hold in its pouch? So cups of water.
Wait, a brown pelican or just a normal pelican?
Just a pelican.
A normal pelican.
Is there such a thing?
A normal adult pelican. How many cups of water can an adult pelican hold in its pouch?
I love that the official mainline pelican. We really don't know what we're saying. Okay, so a cup meaning what? 12 ounces? 8 ounces? What are we talking? Do we know?
A cup is 8 ounces.
Yeah, 8 ounces. Oh, you mean like measurement?
Wait, you're talking about a standard cup?
Or no, I was just thinking like glasses. I was like, one of these. This is a cup. One of these cups.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh, how many can he? Are you like how many can carry like at a bar or something?
No, just like
a bartender or something.
I was thinking,
is that with a tray or without a tray?
See, this is the problem with the English language. We have cup as a measurement and cup as an item, and I was thinking item. All right. Let's go.
Okay. Think measurements and think water. Like how many?
Why would
how many coffee cups?
Why would you?
No, coffee cups.
Human feet. How many human feet could you fit in a Pelican?
Yeah, but at least that one's different enough. A cup can hold water, and it can also be a measurement of a cup, right?
Sure, yes.
It's not that crazy. All right.
How many feet across?
Yeah. Okay. It's a horrible example. All right, cups. We're going to go with the measurement being cups. We're going to go 12 cups.
12 cups. That is incorrect. Brian, is the actual answer higher or lower than 12 cups of water in a pelican, average adult pelican's pouch?
So their pouch is very stretchy and elastic. So I'm going to say much higher. I'm going to think, they probably can hold gallons probably.
Yeah, gallons.
So I'm going to say much higher.
The answer is... indeed higher. It is 48, four times the number Scott said. So 48 cups of water. After they go fishing, pelicans have to dump 24 pounds of water before they can fly because they...
I was about to say, they wouldn't be able to fly with it. They could certainly spit in their mouth.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
that's so gross.
Brian Dunaway is our winner, which means that... Milo of Monterrey, Mexico is getting a copy of WWE 2K Battlegrounds and the DLC, the Ultimate Brawlers Pass. But don't worry, Brian Clemens, you're going away and not going away empty-handed. You're coming away with Civ City Rome, which to non-wrestling fans might be looked at as the better game.
Yeah, you might. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's supposed to the 2K Battlegrounds game's highly regarded. I think you're going to do fine. And then I haven't played Civ City Rome, so I can't speak to it. But I'm sure you got a good game, too. And I know
both
what
game's great.
And I know what Fletcher would say.
Congratulations, you're a winner.
He'd say you're both winners, and I agree. Congratulations and well done. Hey Brian, how many cups does it take to make a Play Retro episode tomorrow? Do you think?
Oh my God! Well, we got to put the balls in there. So
yeah, we're doing balls.
Track balls. What am I thinking? Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. No. Look. Hey, we're doing this thing.
Tracking the balls.
We're going to the old days of the arcade when track balls were awesome. Think Missile Command. Think Millipede, Centipede, all that stuff.
Marble Madness.
Yeah.
Crystal Castles.
Yeah. Marble Madness.
You about named all of them.
I know. That's it. That's the whole show. We don't need to do any more.
Good deal. It's all done.
Yeah. Yep. All done.
Except everybody wants me to do Golden Tee, and I can't figure out where the crap that thing is.
Golden Tee you see those all the time in like bars and stuff, don't you? It's like a bar machine or something.
Yeah.
So it was a weird era, and it was also, I have some very specific old arcade stories related to my dad's arcades that dealt with trackballs. So we're gonna have a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new, and some thinking about why you don't see it so much today.
Did you rub your junk on it? Like
everything.
You know, like American Pie.
Look,
catch you rubbing your junk on it?
When you're in junior high, you rub your junk on everything. That's the rule.
What was it like when I rub it on this? How about this?
Yeah.
What's it feel like?
Oh. How about this trackball? How about Millipede? How about Centipede?
Oh.
How about Crystal Castles? Anyway, that'll be tomorrow. Check us out, 3:30
Mountain Time. I'm dehydrated.
Oh, well, you should drink. Oh. So go drink something. Why don't you drink something? Shouldn't you?
If only his section came after Stephen Schleicher's, we'd be able to tell him what to do to solve
that
problem.
That's true. Well, I hope you don't have to rush to any poo-poo stations today, and have a great day. I didn't know he wasn't feeling well. It makes me sad.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
Supposed to let us know, man.
Oh, it's not like Atari football. Forgot about that one. That's cool.
Atari football had it. Was that an arcade?
Yeah. That was an arcade. It was a flat, like basically it wasn't a machine. It was a two-player flat game, and you move the trackball to move your dudes around. It was black and white, and it really was X's and O's, wasn't it? I think.
I don't know. I don't remember this. I kind of want to Now I want to look. Well, that's what we're going to do. All our research is still happening, so we're going to find out all the old stuff.
Yeah, plenty of time for research.
Yeah, and we'll play some of that. I don't have a good trackball here to emulate it, but he does. He's got that Atari limited edition trackball thing they put out last year, and I wish I could get one. But
did I tell you I picked up the Couchcade?
Oh, no, you didn't tell
me. This is the Atari Couchcade. It is a, it looks like a TV tray, basically, and it's got buttons, and it's got a trackball, and it's got a knob, like a Tempest-style knob, and it, but no joystick, and it's got built-in Asteroids, Asteroids Deluxe, Tempest, Missile Command, Centipede, Millipede, Lunar Lander, and Gyrus. I think just those eight.
No Asteroids in there?
That was the first one I said was Asteroids.
Oh, I missed Asteroids Deluxe. I missed it. Yeah. I love both those games. So good.
Yeah, which I'd forgotten you play with buttons as opposed to, well, I hadn't forgotten because I have one right back here. But before I got that one back there, I'd forgotten that that Asteroids wasn't a knob or a left and right joystick game. Knob would be perfect, right?
No, kinda? Knob would be pretty good, except... Yeah, no, actually, knob would have been probably preferable, actually.
I think so, for Asteroids.
Yeah. And Asteroids, Asteroids not Deluxe, but the one that came after that, Asteroids... Oh, shoot, me and we tried to play in Vegas for the contest, and it was broken. One of the knobs was broken.
Oh, right.
But that had a knob. That had a Tempest knob on it.
It did have a knob. Was that Blasteroids?
Was it Blasteroids?
I think that was Blasteroids.
Gosh dang it, I don't remember the name.
Which was not an Atari one, but it was...
We tried to play it. The knob was busted, but not only that... It has a mechanic
I go back. It was Atari, and it was the third official sequel
to
the third official sequel. So what was the second official sequel?
Deluxe, right?
That would be the first official sequel.
Oh,
right?
Oh, I see what you mean. Third in a series versus sequel. So I don't know. What would be the first official sequel?
Yeah, let's see. Let's find out here. Sequels. Here we go. Asteroids Deluxe. They say Space Duel, which was released in arcades in 1982, replaces the rocks with colorful geometric shapes and adds cooperative two-player gameplay. I did not know that that was an official sequel to
I don't
Asteroids.
Think it is. That seems like a weird claim. That's a very different game.
It is a weird claim, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nothing like Asteroids.
No. I mean, just the fact that you turn your ship using buttons.
I guess you could make the argument that it's in the same universe or something dumb like that, but it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think that counts. Anyway, lots of balls tomorrow.
The Couchcade, kind of fun, tiny little bit of lag. So it's obviously wireless. You've got a thing that plugs into your TV with a HDMI port, and then this thing that's wireless on the couch. I think because I've got the receiver behind the TV, it might be interfering. So I'm going to try pulling it out and seeing if I get better reception. But the games look great.
I'll bet they do. I saw this somewhere and wanted to grab it, and I don't remember why I didn't.
I got it on special, like half price through 40 boxes, I think is the website.
This isn't 1UP, right? This is something else. This is just Atari.
This is 1UP. It's arcade 1UP. Okay. Makes it. Yeah.
I need to get that. That
they've got a second one that does have a joystick, and I can't remember what that one has, but it's like another Couchcade style thing, but it's got fighting games on it, maybe. I can't remember.
Probably old fighting games, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
It's always something new coming out of there. Those guys are always making something cool. Let's get to this. We got some news today. Our news program begins right here. So let me play some news. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
Brought to you by Sleeping on He-Man.
All right.
Please explain.
Here's the story. See this little guy, this little He-Man figure?
Yeah, yeah.
So for some reason, Carter got me these at a dollar store. She keeps picking them up. So I've got Skeletor and Man-at-Arms here, and then He-Man. I'm really hoping to get like two men and Fisto and all those idiots. Anyway, we'll see. But anyway, He-Man somehow ended up in my bed, and... I didn't know. I don't even remember taking it up there, but I fell asleep on it. Woke up this morning with He-Man's kind of like the Indiana Jones guy burning his hand with the symbol thing that you had the other day. the round thing.
Yes, right. Like a little a He-Man indentation.
Yep. Had a little He-Man in there. Just his whole body going in my back. And it actually kind of hurts still. There's like a little bit of a bruisey thing going on. So don't sleep on He-Man, is what I'm saying.
You think the dog brought it to your bed or something? Or what
I
happened?
Have no idea how it got up there. I really don't know. Huh. I didn't take it up there. I thought these were on my desk the whole time. I don't know. But now they've been reunited. Skeletor's stoked to have his old nemesis back. We're good.
Ah, welcome back, He-Man. Why do you smell like body sweat?
Why do you smell like a man's back? All right. Let's get to this story here about John Paul College. This is a college. Okay.
A college. An Australian college.
Indeed. A student was banned
after
there.
After two Beatles, I believe. I think that's how they got its name. It's
the two Beatles they liked the most.
Yes.
Exactly. Sorry, John and Ringo, you're out. And the other guy, or George, rather. Hello. Sorry, there's no hello in this. It says John Paul College. so I was reading it like an email.
All news stories began with hello.
Hello. John Paul College. Hello. Student got banned from school grounds because of an unsuitable mullet haircut. Oh, look at this. Well, won't someone please think of the children? Let me pull this up so people can see it.
Oh, that's okay. So it's really not even, it's not the mullet that shouldn't be called a mullet because nothing in the front.
Yeah, this is
like
all party
usually
in the
business
back.
In the front, party in the rear. This is everything in the rear and shaved. 3/4 of his head is shaved except for just the back where the mullet.
Yeah, I don't even know. This is more like a warrior headpiece looking. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
Free Rangers, is that what it's called? A skullet and Matuba?
There's such a
thing.
That
would totally make sense. A skullet. Yeah, that would totally make sense.
I get those at IHOP. They're great. I love the
I'll
skullet.
I'll take the skullet scramble, please. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds really good, actually.
It comes in a skullet? Oh, I love it. Great. Just don't touch it because the skullet's going to be really hot.
It's going to be really hot. Thanks, lady. Let's see here. It says, they have these rules about haircuts. They denied his son entry to the school for the past 3 weeks because of his hairstyle. It is a mullet with a shaved head. It was deemed unsuitable under college uniform and personal appearance expectations policy. Expectations is a funny word. We have certain expectations here. And
personal appearance expectations policy.
You don't match our expectations. Policy says shaved hair, fads, and extreme haircuts are unsuitable for school. Yeah. Mrs. Wilson said her son's hairstyle was a result of post-football celebrations in which he and his friends gave each other silly haircuts, which she described as good, clean fun. Says, I do
Some
not believe...
Some people want to change the world with silly haircuts.
Yep. There you go.
What's wrong with that?
They're stopping... The man's stopping them
I'd
here.
I'd like to know. By the way, one person said that it's the front is a skinhead, the back is a hippie, so I say it should be called a Skippy.
Oh, I like the Skippy.
Your That's haircut's a Skippy.
Yep. You can't be here with your Skippy. Take your Skippy home and shave it. Yeah. So I know we're not immune to this over here. BYU famous for sending kids home for having mustaches and beards and stuff. Mm-hmm. They have like really strict stuff on the grooming side of things.
Apparently so. Jeez.
Really annoying to me at BYU. Anyway, Jurassic World director dropped a bombshell.
Okay.
All right. You'd think, you know, he's made a couple of these movies, made a lot of money.
Is that? Who is that director?
That dude is, his name's right here. Where's his name?
Colin Trevorrow.
Trevorrow, okay. That's the guy.
All right. Sure.
Jurassic World director said the series should have probably ended after Spielberg's original, saying it's an inherently unfranchisable franchise. It's like, you made the movies, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is, right? It's like, we have finally cleared this island of all of its dinosaurs. Thank goodness. Oh, no, we've got dinosaurs. It's like bed bugs, basically.
It
right?
is.
It's,
yeah, they just keep coming back. You can't avoid
bed
them.
Bed bugs, dominion.
You know, it's Dr. Grant's fault. He said life finds a way or whatever, or whoever said it.
Right.
Jeff Goldblum, maybe. I don't know who said it.
Jeff Goldblum said it.
Yeah. And when they said that, that was this minute that all the filmmakers went, oh, life does find a way to make more of these for other movies and sequels. Woohoo! Specifically, he says this to, by the way, he was talking to, I can't find the name of the Empire magazine.
Okay.
He says, none of the sequels should have probably been made. In Trevorrow's own words, the Jurassic Park franchise probably should have started and ended with Spielberg and in the 1993 original. I specifically did things different than the other films in order to change the DNA of the franchise. He said about his Jurassic World Dominion film. The previous five films are plots about dinosaurs. This one is about the characters in a world which they coexist with dinosaurs. Yeah, but you said it's fine. It's still...
Yeah, I mean, it's... All six movies feature characters that coexist in a world with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I see what he's saying. Like, the beginning, basically at the beginning of Dominion, spoiler alert, but it's really not, the movie starts with, yep, dinosaurs are in our world. We just kind of have to live with them. And every once in a while, they eat people, and oh, well.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it yet. Should I or should I not? Bother.
Oh, you should see it. But yeah. Don't spend money to see it, but see it on the see it when it's on a streaming service you're already paying for.
Yeah, I would do that for sure.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis back in the news again. Mm-hmm. There was some recent stuff that we didn't get to because we haven't had a show about his likeness being licensed off to be used in future films with his permission. So basically digital deepfake recreations of Bruce Willis were approved and he was going to get paid for that. A little bit like Darth Vader or James Earl Jones signing off the rights to the Vader voice to both LucasArts and then this voice company.
Vader voice.
You know, you got to do the Vader voice. Well, Bruce Willis is now denying he sold the rights to his face. His agent, anyway, has denied reports that the film star sold the rights to his face. Last week, it was widely reported that Willis, in the first deal of its kind, had sold his face to a deepfake company called Deep Cake.
Oh, God. Is it really Deep Cake?
Deep Cake. Oh, that's the name.
Is it Deep Cake?
Yeah. Deep Cake. Oh, I hate that. Is it really cake or not thing? Is that why they're doing it? Is that why they named it that?
It could be.
Oh, I hope not. We live in an era where people make whole...
It's worse now, isn't it? Yeah. Knowing that it's Deep Cake.
They make whole companies around memes now. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Says the actor has no partnership or agreement with the company. Representative from Deep Cake said only Willis has the rights to his face. So why did this happen then? Like, why?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, does Deep Cake? Well, representative said only Willis has rights to his face. So it's a nothing burger,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a nothing basically, burger story.
Basically, Deep Cake says we don't have the rights to his face. Bruce Willis says I didn't give him the rights to my face. So basically we're just saying, oh yeah, that rumor about him selling his face is fake news.
So this is a story about the Telegraph making a story up. That's what this is.
Yeah, right.
And Bruce Willis is like, it's like when they report somebody died. It's like, oh, did you hear George Lucas died in a horrible accident? And people check into it and they're like, no, he's alive and well living on the ranch. He's fine.
Yeah. I'm okay, guys. I didn't die in anything. I'm here on the ranch making, helping with that Willow remake. It's all good over here on the ranch.
That said, do you think...
That said. My impression of George Lucas aside. Yes, go ahead. Continue.
Well, I just want to get to this question. That said, do you think that actors should sell the rights to their faces? Like, let's say we know an actor is going to die soon, right? They're like, oh yeah, I'm retiring. We'll just say retiring. Let's go a little bit less morbid. I'm retiring, but I'm going to sell my likeness to a deep fake company or to Hollywood, basically, so that they can continue to use my likeness in movies. How do you feel about that?
I think it's okay if the actor does sign off on it.
Yeah.
And if I were them, I would make sure that that contract includes residuals for my estate / family, whatever.
For sure. Yes.
But if they don't agree to it, then no, they shouldn't be able to. So like when a few years ago when they had Fred Astaire dancing around with a vacuum.
Right. Right.
And they didn't involve the family at all. I thought that was weird and not cool. So
definitely not cool.
If anything, it's a little bit more upfront now where you kind of, if we really are heading this direction where some of this is going to happen, and I think it will. Mm-hmm. It's good that they can lock in the rights. They need to. If they aren't, they need to. But now that we know this Bruce Willis thing is fake, I guess, you know what, though? The James Earl Jones one's real. That story's real. So it's not his face. It's his voice, but kind of the same principle.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and I'm guessing Mark Hamill obviously signed off on them using his likeness for the 3D modeling that they, the, you know, the thing they did in Mandalorian.
Yeah, and he mo-capped that, so he was, you know, that was...
Oh, he was involved anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that was an acting gig, so for him, he got what he needed, I assume.
But so, like, Gene Hackman. So Gene Hackman's retired from acting.
Right.
Would you be happy with a... Would you be happy with a movie that featured a digitally recreated Gene Hackman?
I'm trying to think what they would do it for, but if they found the right reason, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm impressed by the technology. I don't get too precious about it. I just think that I do think it needs to be with the approval, because there's still, at the end of the day, regardless of what you think about Hollywood or rich actors or anything, there's still people. And I think the one thing you should probably have the right to is your own likeness. It just feels like if there's anything you own, it's that.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yes.
So I don't know. It's complicated, I guess.
Last bastion of anything that is yours that you can call your own.
Yeah. What do I have besides that and my, I don't know. That's it. That's all I really
have. That's it. Your voice and your likeness.
That's right. Don't take it for free, yo. All right, Brian, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Stephen Schleicher will join us. We'll do a little major spoilers time. Looking forward to that, but I can't do it without a song. So play one of those.
Yeah, can't do it until now. The Ramona Flowers release, they have a brand new single that they've released. It's called Gotta Get Home. They have a new EP set for release on October 28th, so the end of this month. Get ready for that. But in the meantime, listen to this brand new track from a band I like called The Ramona Flowers. Here is Gotta Get Home.
In the flowers goes head first down a rabbit hole, seeking to stop every domino from falling, from falling, from falling. And he just gotta get home. How's he gonna get home tonight before the love turns cold? And tell her everything will be alright. He's been waiting. Somewhere that forever displays, you'll never ever run away.
remember, when the clock strikes 12, you must be home by then. For should you fail to be in bed, you'll be in rags again. Remember, remember, remember.
All I'm going to do is study magic.
You taste like a burger. I don't like you anymore. This is the Morning Stream.
Welcome back. Who was that again?
Yeah, that is the band The Ramona Flowers and a brand new song called Gotta Get Home. It is in advance of their new EP. It is the title of their EP as well, which is set for release on October 28th.
Nice. By the way, that clip I played here.
All I want to do is study magic.
That's Dublin's own Christian Nairn, who played Hodor on Game of Thrones.
Okay, I was wondering who that was. I would have guessed Bo.
No, no, no. And it was in it was voice. An interview we did on The Instance years ago, a couple years ago, and I don't remember what his he was even talking about, but that made me laugh so hard.
All I want to do is study magic.
I got to get him on again. He is from Dublin, nice. Clare, isn't he? Clare would know. He's from there, I think. Isn't that where he... I know he lives there now, and he's Irish.
Look at all of those question marks after the word Dublin. My goodness.
Look at all those caps she used to spell Dublin.
Oh, jeez, well, yeah.
Insane. All right.
Hopefully we never see her spell question mark in all caps.
No, I don't want that.
I don't want that either. Lisburn is what she's saying.
Lisburn? Oh. Well, he probably will yell at me when I talk
Isn't
to
that
him.
That Portugal?
Might be. Might be. He started streaming a bunch of WoW stuff. I don't know what that was about. No, I assume so.
Oh, outside Belfast, so actually Northern Ireland.
Oh. All right. So he could, he was one of the, he lives in the area where they were bombing everybody or whatever.
Yeah.
What's going on? I don't know. I watch Dairy Girls. Yeah. I try to keep up. I don't know. All right. Let's get major spoilers in here. If I can spell with a freaking keyboard. Here we go. All right. Let's get him in. Let's do the thing. Where is it?
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
That laugh can mean one thing only, and that is that Steven Schleicher's joining us for a major spoiler segment here on the show. We do it every Monday. Steven brings his special brand of, you know, movies and comics and pop culture with him. Steven, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello, Scott. Good morning, Brian. Ooh. I am the opposite of the other Brian in that I'm overhydrated.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. All right.
And, I don't know what that means for...
Means I got to pee.
Ah, shoot. This is bad timing.
real quick, in your last segment, you were talking about actors selling their likeness rights.
Yeah.
I know I've mentioned this on the show before in many years past, but everybody should check out this movie called The Congress with Robin Wright in it. She plays a fictionalized version of herself. Mm-hmm. She has a son that has Usher syndrome, and she needs money for his treatment. And so she sells her likeness rights after... This is when she's much younger, around the time of Princess Bride. Okay. She sells her likeness rights to a studio, and they digitize and scan her.
Yeah.
She's no longer allowed to act, except for her digital version is.
Oh,
and so this takes place 20 years later after her virtual... self is super popular, and she has to go back in and renegotiate her contract for her virtual likeness.
Oh, weird. That's some Black Mirror kind of business.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So it's like, it's a Congress. I think it may be based on a comic book. I'm not sure, but definitely The Congress from 2013, I think, addresses all these concerns people have been talking about in the last couple of years about likeness rights.
Really? Yeah, okay.
We should see that. Sounds cool.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. What's that? Wasn't there that movie called Simone? Wasn't that kind of some of this?
Yeah, but
that was a fully digital.
Yeah, that was fully digital.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't a character that was based on somebody. It was just fully created.
Right. I wonder if that's worth revisiting. I remember at the time it was kind of...
Might be, because it's what, Al Pacino, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He did a hoo-ha and whatever.
Was it Carmen Diaz was the...
Was it Carmen Diaz? Simone?
I thought it was...
Let me look here.
Why am I thinking Monica Bellucci for that? Maybe not.
Jeez, let's see. Simone, now I need to...
Simone, I'm looking at it up right now. Al Pacino, Catherine Keener, and Rachel Roberts.
Okay. Maybe that's it.
Rachel Roberts is this.
Oh, Rachel Roberts, okay. Yep, there she is. Catherine Keener's getting everything, so that's cool.
I love her, yeah. Just don't let her stir your tea.
Oh, I didn't know Winona Ryder and... Evan Rachel Wood and Jay Moore were in that. That's pretty cool. Anyway, all right. Let's get to some of the beef here. We got some beef. Not really.
Yeah. Stir the beef.
Armor Wars was supposed to be, it was originally a movie, then it was a TV show, and now it's a movie again. Or maybe
I don't know
it's,
if it was ever planned for a movie. I think they announced it as a Disney Plus miniseries.
That's what, I couldn't remember. But I thought so too.
Yeah.
So but, why'd they change our gears here? Is it just because
it's, don't know. Yeah. That's the weird thing, right? So either Don Cheadle, who's, you know, award winning actor, said, hey, I'm a little bit better than a TV show on your streaming stuff. Make this a movie. Or my thought might be that maybe they didn't have enough to carry seven episodes.
That's kind of what
TV
I was
show.
Thinking. Mm. Yeah, that would be my, because I, man, I'd hate to think that Don Cheadle would be like that, especially now that so many actors are saying, no, TV's a great place for me to showcase mm-hmm. my work. Mm-hmm. I can do, you know, 8 weeks of appearance instead of just one movie. My guess is, yeah, that they have one story that kind of fits really well in a 2-hour film.
So, if I remember correctly, Brian, Armor Wars is all about, is it Rhodey or Tony Stark finds out that everybody has stolen or copied the Iron Man armor, and they're making their own copies of it. And it's basically a big IP copyright lawsuit, arc, but instead of going through the court system, like you would, Tony Stark goes out and takes down blows up all the technologies right. of these competing companies.
Just a comic book origin.
You officially, it was a comic series, okay. like a crossover event. You officially know more about than I do because this was in an era where I was not picking up Iron Man.
Yeah, I had to read this a few years ago for the Major Spoilers podcast, and some people really, really like it. I think it is the most boring, boringest Iron Man story I've ever read.
So maybe that's why it's only a movie now, because you can't go 8 episodes of boring. You can do 2 hours
of
exciting.
You get it in front of more faces on the theater. You get a worldwide distribution. Potentially, you're going to make more money off of it than you are off of a Disney Plus subscription, which could be good for Don Cheadle, you know, as far as residuals and royalties and upfronts and backends. And all that stuff.
Yeah, I get the feeling, too, that maybe the audience is a little bit hungry for Iron Man stuff since Tony Stark left us. Like,
well, then you guys should probably check out the brand new Wakanda Forever trailer that dropped this morning.
I missed it.
Featuring a Riri Williams in her Ironheart costumes.
Yeah. Ooh. I love the trailer. I don't know how sold I am on Namor's wings.
They look really weird, don't they?
They really do.
It looks like the Golden Snitch or something.
It does. It's like
to his ankles.
You know, I can buy. All right, he can fly. Sure, no problem. I don't need to see those little wings flapping like crazy, holding up the weight of a dude.
It is weird looking, right? I mean, they should have blurred it out a little bit more. It looks like a lazy flap.
Exactly. Right. Make it look like hummingbird wings where where you don't even see it.
Yeah. Oh, man, do you think they're going to put a sound effect in for the flapping of his wings?
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, I hope it's just like, I hope it's just like that, Brian. Marvel Studios, capture that.
Namor. Yeah. That's why they call him that. It's the sound of his feet.
But it's a sound of, since he's supposed to be a Quetzalcoatl, I wonder if it'll be the sound of feathers rustling.
Yeah, it could be. You basically just say, well, he's flying because he's, you know, he's Atlantean and he can do that and whatever. Not because his little foot wings can go.
Yeah.
He has a snitch feet. It's fine. He can get around. That's right. Whatever snitch he needs. Feet. Well, I haven't seen it yet. I'll watch it.
That'll
after
get you in trouble in prison, snitch
feet. Oh, yeah, they will. That's somebody's nickname in Oz. My favorite ancillary character in Oz was Snitchfeet. All right, well, that's cool. Hey, bad news if you like Grendel, which I do. I was a fan of the comic book back in the day. It's not coming to Netflix anymore. In fact, I guess it was near done. They were almost done, right? Months ago?
No, I think they were still producing or in the process of getting it moved into production. But Netflix is like, yeah, we're not interested in this anymore. And so the production company is free to shop this around to whoever else wants to pick up a comic book property, which is surprising for me. Amazon just dropped the Paper Girls season 2. I think it was on Amazon or Hulu. I forget these days. And so it's really weird that we're seeing a lot of companies just rushing out to grab comic book IPs. And then all of a sudden we're seeing this drop off of, no, we don't want this comic IP. We don't want this. We don't want this. It's almost like we're oversaturated and people are looking for something different than comic book properties. But for those people who don't know what a Grendel is, this is a series from Matt Wagner that kicked off, I want to say, in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
There have been many Grendels, but the main one follows a man by the name of Hunter Rose, who's a fencer, a writer. He's an assassin. In the main story arc, he fights organized crime in New York City and then ultimately becomes, spoiler alert for a 40-year-old series, the head of the organized crime unit in New York City. So if Matt Wagner's art is fantastic in this. If you've ever seen the Grendel figure in full costume, it looks amazing, especially when he's got his big lance in it. Just really cool stuff.
My only problem with Grendel as a design is that he looks like someone said, hey, here's black suit Spider-Man. Here's a little bit of Venom. Put a little Deadpool in there. You know, like he's an amalgam of a lot of stuff you've probably already seen.
Yeah.
And it always rubbed me a little bit wrong, but I remember back in the day loving the stories. Stories are great.
If you're Dark Horse Comics and you're looking for the next thing,
yeah,
and Marvel is, you know, this is right before, of course, the big crash in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Rose and Grendel was certainly a thing that would get people's attention and did get people's attention.
Yeah, that's true. There's been a lot of really great cover art guest stuff that you can definitely check out, but it's just like this, like, it's almost like Venom on steroids is what the ones I'm thinking of are the ones I look back on, where it's just really buff black.
Oh yeah. That's definitely a different Grendel. Our Grendel is very thin and
old school Grendel. Old school Grendel's like a weird, I don't know, like a little French man.
Yeah.
Kind of a little skinny guy that likes defense and stuff. Well, anyway, not happening now. So sorry.
No, I'd rather show up somewhere else. I mean, we've got at least two other streaming services that aren't owned by Disney that could pick this up.
I'd rather have animation here or something, you know, animated Grendel. Do that.
Oh man. Speaking of animated, did you sit down and watch Intergalactic, Scott?
No, but you told me. I got a text from Brian you over the weekend and we were like raving about it.
I watched the first two chapters of it, and tell me this is by the same people who did the animation for, Into the Spider-Verse.
Well, that was the thing that first attracted me. It's like, wow, this looks like Into the Spider-Verse. I didn't go that far. The director, Mules, I think is his name.
Okay.
This is like his first feature film. He's got two other projects coming up in the very near future. And the animation in this just looks amazing.
It's the Kid Cudi deal, right?
I think he has a new album out by the same name, and this movie basically is the giant music video for that album.
Yeah, right. Kind of like what Sturgill Simpson did for Sound and Fury. Is that Sound and Fury? Was that the name of that album?
Sound and Fury, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I love that album so much. It's so good.
It is good. Now, I will say this. For people that are like, oh, yeah, I love the Spider-Man, and I want my kids to sit down, and we're going to watch this together. No. There's a lot of sexy times, a lot of really strong language, and a lot of drug use.
Okay.
I don't know if you got to the sexy time stuff yet, Brian.
I have not gotten to the sexy. Like, it's been hinted at, but it's all been like,
I mean, there's
wearing a towel. And I think you just see one of his friend's butts when he's getting a massage.
There's one that's a little bit more raw where they're talking about something that happened in a laundry room.
Okay.
But you don't really see any, you know, you don't see any wieners or boobies or anything like that.
Okay.
That's a shame.
Fair enough.
But people are getting it on a lot.
Intergalactic, for those wondering the name, it's E.
And not an I, it's an E.
Yeah, Enter, which, you know, apparently there's a lot of that in this.
I'm hoping there'll be a sequel called Interstellar.
Yep.
And then, my God, the animation in that is just...
It is so cool.
It is fantastic.
It reminds me very much of the Into the Spider-Verse animation.
Mm-hmm. But that's also a concern, because the Into the Spider-Verse animation was mind-blowing and revolutionary when that came out. It gave us a whole different perspective on what you can do with 3D and animation together. We've got the new Into the Spider-Verse 2 and 3 coming up, which will use the same stuff and maybe push it a little bit further. But one of my fears was, everybody's just going to rip this style off. Mm-hmm. And this is the first thing that I've seen that feels like it's actively doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about it, but it is impossible to see it and not go, oh, Spider-Verse. Like, it just looks, that lower frame rate on foreground characters, smoother frame rate in the background, like those techniques, 100% Spider-Verse the way they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure if you ask Kid Cudi, he would probably say, yeah, that was one of our inspirations. He probably would. You know, I'm making probably. That up, but he probably would if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, worth watching, though, you say, if you're not a
kid. Oh, man, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It's a love story, so it's not like you're seeing superhero stuff or anything like that. It's a romance story. And it's
I like it so far. Yeah.
Yeah. It follows a typical kind of not rom-com story arc, but yeah, pretty much a rom-com story arc. Yeah. So you know how it's going to end.
Yeah. Maybe Kim would like it because she likes rom-coms.
I think she would. I honestly think if I was going to say, Scott, you and Carter should watch this together. And then I was like, oh, no, sexy times. That's going to be weird.
Too weird. Yeah. It's not that Carter couldn't handle it. It said, I don't want to be sitting in the room then. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. You know? But the animation, I think Carter would totally be down for
it. Oh, yeah. I think she saw a trailer for this and was like, Dad, we got to watch this. And then I didn't hear anything about it. And then your review made me go, oh, maybe we watch it separately. How about that? We don't.
Chad says, blanket over the TV.
Right. Yeah.
My version of blanket over the TV is you watch it on your own time. That's my blanket.
Perfect.
Well, anyway, yep. there's that and a ton more going on in the world of pop culture, comics, and more. So if you're not already subscribed to checking out Major Spoilers all the time, both the website and their podcasts lineup, all that stuff, then you should be. Hey, Steven, what else is going on over there that you'd like people to know about?
We have the sixth or seventh chapter of our reading of H.P. Lovecraft's The Dunwich Horror, which just went live this morning, so people can go and check that out if they're getting into the spooky season. And of course, we got a whole bunch of other podcasts over there as well. So go and check that out. And most of all, Brian, not you, Brian, the other Brian and all the other Brians out there in the world, please make sure that you stay hydrated.
Yeah, no kidding.
Also, you, Brian.
Brian, too.
Thanks. Yeah. Jeez.
You should drink, Brian. Brian should drink. All right. We're not saying you shouldn't drink. You should drink.
Yeah, boy, can I.
Boy, howdy. All right. That is going to do it for today's show, except for the following email that I got from Michael, a.k.a. Badger Williams, in the chat room. I don't know if he's there today or not. I didn't see this name today, but if he's not, it's okay. He'll hear this later. Yeah. He says this. Okay, let's talk about your thoughts on the Italian taco versus the Mexican pizza. You and everyone else always makes fun of Taco Bell for having the same five ingredients on their products. How is this any different? Furthermore, the Italian taco concept is the exact same thing as a Mexican pizza because the Mexican pizza is just a tostada with hot sauce that's supposed to be the equivalent of a marinara sauce. So yes, in a Taco Bell-esque manner, I think he did that for you.
Oh, nicely done.
they took a pizza slice, folded it over, and said, hey, it's a taco. It's almost an adjacent subject to, is a taco a sandwich? So if you fold a pizza slice, is it a sandwich / taco? On that note, what is a calzone? Anyway, love the show, Michael, a.k.a. Badger Williams. Well, you know, we agree. I mean, I don't think either of us are.
I don't completely agree.
Okay, dude, go for it.
Badger Williams.
Give him what for? What do you disagree
with? Taco Bell does not use the fried flour tortilla for anything else. The fried corn tortilla is used for tostadas, but the fried flour tortilla is not used for anything else. The sauce they use is not the sauce they use for burritos or enchiladas or anything like that. It's definitely a specific sauce for the Mexican pizza. So, meanwhile, Pizza Hut is using a regular slice of pizza folded in half.
Yeah, a pepperoni pizza slice folded in half with no difference.
Exactly. You know what?
Brian's right. I stand with Brian on this 100%. Badger Williams, come back with better argument. You lost this round. Yeah. The judge is not going to allow it.
Let me put my glasses on for this one. Oh, yeah. Throw my glasses around.
Yeah.
Well, actually.
Yeah. That's a good look for you.
Love you. Love you, Badger Williams.
Yeah, you're great, Badger Williams. We loved you in that movie. All right, moving on. Let's get to these.
Carter says, check your Discord. I have the answer.
Oh, wait, what?
There's an answer?
Okay, I'm checking Discord.
Okay.
Oh, this is interesting. The cube rule of food. Brian, I'll put this in our chat.
Okay, please do, because
it's on its way.
Hold on. Food rules.
Yeah, food rules are fun. I didn't even know she was listening this morning. She took her dog today. That's good for me, because I don't have to deal with those dogs today. All right, here we go. The cube rule of food. For identifying dishes based on starch locations. Okay.
This is what makes it, what's a sandwich versus a taco versus a hot dog.
This is amazing. Yeah. I love this. It's just cubes. It's horribly drawn, but like toast is just the bottom section of the cube. The rest is invisible. Sandwich, yeah. Top and bottom of a cube. Taco, sides and bottom of a cube. No ends or top. Cube,
yeah.
Sushi is a full cube without ends. Soup salad is, or bread bowl is a cube with the bottom and the sides and no top, and then a calzone is a fully enclosed cube. This is
well,
great.
That means that a hot dog is not a sandwich, but it's a taco.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, and Tally says, and burritos are sushi by this rule. Well,
yeah. Well, no, because burritos have closed ends, right?
They have closed ends depending. It's
sometimes
either
open
a soup
end.
Salad, bread bowl, or a calzone, depending on if they close both ends or just one.
Yeah, but I would.
If you make your burrito with both ends open, you've got a problem. I don't want to know who you are.
I don't want to be anywhere near that person.
Yeah.
Who does that?
I don't want your burrito.
No. We live on a planet that has gravity. What are you doing?
Exactly. I want a burrito that I can eat in the car, and it better have at least one closed end.
Bizarro thinking there, man. I agree with you.
Jeez.
All right. Well, if you'd like to be like Badger Williams or earlier today when we heard from Ben, you can send us emails of your own, themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. I want to thank some brand new patrons that have joined the show since we last spoke. Stephen Madsen, Willow McLaughlin, I don't know how I said that weird the first time.
Yeah.
And Scandrel the Game Cat.
Ooh, I love that name.
Scandrel the Game Cat. All joined us at patreon.com/TMS for tons of reasons. Many include never have an ad, always get bonus content every day, stuff mailed in the mail. We got a T level. I mean, we do so many crazy things for such little commitment a month. I mean, $1 a month will get you in and give you a lot of those basic rewards. Go read up on it, see what you like, and become a patron today. And our heartfelt thanks to everybody who has already won. Patreon.com/TMS. It's a brand new month, too, so good time to get in. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. And if you'd like to find us on Twitter, we don't mention this very often, but you can find out when live showtimes are, our funny little posts here and there. Just Morning Stream. There's no The Morning Stream on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. Hey, Brian, play music.
Yes, sir. I have two things first. Number one, if you're in the Denver area, we are having a Denver Tadpool meetup November 10th, Thursday, to see Wakanda Forever. Basically, that's the way it goes. We're going to go see Wakanda Forever. I believe we are anyway. I have to double check that because...
Is that not
the
date?
That's the day we're coming back from the concert, and we get back in time to see... Yeah, I'll need to double check that. I believe we're seeing Wakanda Forever. Nice. I also do want to set up a Denver Tadpole meetup to go to Anderson Farms, which is a pumpkin, zombie, corn maze, go-karts, fire pit kind of thing to see if people want to go. We did that a couple years ago with Nikki and Clark, and I want to do it again and get a bunch of people together because that is a fun time.
Yeah, sounds great.
Anderson Farms, and I'll spring for the fire pit because we have to do it there. All right, so that's that. Also, everywhere in the world, if you want, we have a brand new Tadpooly Feud survey up. Go to either the Discord or the Facebook group, and you'll find a link. Jeannie has been awesome. She's been posting in both places. So go fill out the new Tadpooly Feud survey. We'll be using those questions probably starting in about 2 weeks.
Nice.
So, so get there and put your posts or your guesses in.
Very cool.
And I picked them in random order, Scott, so don't think you can go there and read them and cheat and see what questions are.
I never even want to know. I want to find out if a Nurple Booby is a true bird on its, you know, in real time.
Right, the Nurple Booby.
Yep.
All right, now let's get to our final song of the show. Mike Pacholik, who was nice enough to send us a couple of spider grabbers, said, October 3rd is my birthday. I will be 56. I hope you guys are practicing your spider grabbing skills. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, 56. You get one of these.
56.
That's a high watermark there, dude. Well done.
It is. And I've been looking for spiders in the house because I want to use it. I like, you know, I've got my fake spider. I've got this little guy right here, but he's no good. I want to practice as a real spider.
You're actively looking for spiders to use your spider catcher.
I'm actively looking for spiders because I really want to try this thing out. So, yes, soon I will be able to answer that question. Anyway, hope you're having a happy birthday, Mike. He wants to hear any song from London Grammar as a cover, and I'm happy to say London Grammar's done some awesome covers. The one I chose today is their cover of Chris Isaak's Wicked Game. This was recorded for the BBC Radio 2 Sounds of the 80s album from 2014. They do an amazing job with it. Here is London Grammar.
See you guys tomorrow for a brand new DMS.
On fire, no one can save me but you. This strange war desire can make foolish people do. I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you. I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. And no, I don't wanna fall in love. And no, I don't wanna fall in love with
of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.